Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, the man of the people, Chris Bisignano. Chris, before we get started, I want to give a thank you and a shout out to the Media Captain for sponsoring our podcast. The Media Captain offers web design and digital marketing services for small and medium-sized businesses. The owner of the Media Captain, Jason Parks, is a big-time Giants fan and would love to help your business grow its online presence. Visit themediacaptain.com for more information. Once again, that's the Media Captain Twitter account, at the Media Captain. So, you know, the last 2 weeks, pal, we figured out what this team is, and we said, you know, we're 2-2, and let's just see. We got the big boy schedule coming up, and unfairly, we went into New England without anyone, without Barkley, without Shepard, Gallman, and we were undermanned. I do think we learned a lot about this team, both positive and negative. What say you, buddy?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. One possession game, 9 minutes left, on demand. I think you would have signed up for that, right, Jerry, before the game started?
Without a doubt. Yep. There were coaching decisions that we'll get into that made me sick.
Well, that's a daily routine for Sherman.
And it's disheartening because, you know, we print this week. And, again, action-packed issue. And one of the articles I did was on the last – over the last year who we've brought in via draft and free agency, and there's a lot of good things to look at. You know, like the injuries and the coaching decisions, man, and this one really, really hamstrung us. But like you said, 9 minutes to go, down a score rather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made it at least a respectable night, even though the final score we lost by 21 and the Patriots covered the spread if you were betting on mybookie.ag. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry. It's one of those games where you didn't see the game and – you just, you know, you look, you saw the score and you saw, 35-20, you know, 35, that's what I expected, right?
Yeah.
That's not the way the game was though, right? I mean, it was 21-14, fourth quarter, Hillman, who's no longer a Giant, fumbles. And that's it. You know, they go the other way and that's the end of the story. And it was just a matter of New England's a better football team. We know that. Mm-hmm. But the Giants, listen, Jerry, the Giants were on demand. Jones, at times, was forcing things. Mm-hmm. At times, Belichick fooled him with some disguised looks. I thought the defense played their hearts out. And the game was that. Now, you might call me a buffoon, which you might. People might call me a buffoon.
I don't usually, but go ahead.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If the Giants had Barkley, if the Giants had Evan Engram and the Giants had Shep, they might have got it with a W, with a big upset.
Yeah, I don't.
Am I a buffoon for saying that?
No, not at all. I think that's the thing that made me feel good about the game, like or worse, actually, because it's like, wow, we could have taken these guys. And, you know, we were so undermanned. And like you said, we went in with Jonathan Hillman. Now, someone just tweeted at us that having Hillman as the starter is a fireable offense. It's like, what do you want to invest in the running back position after Barkley, right? Like, what are you supposed to carry? Three awesome running backs? I mean,
somebody else on Twitter said blame Gettleman for the talent they had in the field.
No,
I mean, what are we talking about here? It's Gettleman's fault that Barkley, Shepard, and Engram were hurt?
Come on. I mean, if you're gonna put blame at people not on the field,
break.
You know, I guess let's start with them. Let's start with Pat Shurmur, man, because there's again just so many decisions he's made in that game. The one where I lost my mind, I mean, I went screaming about it, was 7 minutes to go, down 14 on your own 33, fourth and two.
Yeah, against the Patriots.
What the hell are you punting for? What's the point? You basically say, I give up. And then the media asks him, why'd you do it? And he says, well, I thought it was the right thing to do. You know what, man? Yeah. Slick your hair back now and pretend you're Ben McAdoo. Because that's a Ben McAdoo answer.
Yeah, and then the next day. Were you talking about the post-game presser?
Yes, the conference call.
Well, the next day on the conference call, somebody asked him right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, if you had some, now you had some time to think about it and all that, you know, would you have done the same thing? And he basically said, well, you know, I just thought it was the right thing to do at the time. And, you know, we needed two scores. And I felt we could have got the stop. I mean, you know, when you're on the man and you're heavy underdog, you take shots there, Jerry. But this is this surprise you, the in-game management of Sherman? I mean, it's been bad for a year and a half. No?
Yeah, it's been terrible. And
you could just tell the way Sherman was answering the question that he kind of knew he probably should have went the other way, and he would never admit it, you know. He felt you could just tell the way he was answering it, you know. This is a big difference between coaches in this league. You got to make snap decisions, Jerry, especially when you're calling the plays, which a lot of people don't like when head coaches call plays for that reason, right?
Coaching in football, we've said it all the time, and I'm not trying to underplay baseball at all because I know you're a big baseball guy. I'm not trying to be funny. But coaching in baseball compared to football, to me, isn't even close. In baseball, you're
not even close.
Right. You're putting in a lineup, and then, okay, if a left-hander's up, you're bringing in a left-handed reliever. I know there's a lot more analytics now, but the decisions you make in baseball are so less, I wouldn't say important, but they don't affect the game like it does in football, man. It just doesn't. Football, nope. You have such a handprint on your team. And what he's doing right now with his challenges, with his game management, you know, we both tweeted the same thing, except we tweeted it differently. I said before the half, wow, we just called timeout because we think we're getting the ball back. And then within 1 second, your tweet came out and said, why would you call timeout now and give them more time?
Yeah. You don't call timeout there.
Right.
You don't call timeout there.
Right.
You call timeout if you get that third down stop.
Yes.
You don't call timeout against Tom Brady
and Bill
in New
Belichick.
England with 2:40 left, and they still have a third and six. Not third and 12. Not third and 14. Not even third and 10. Third and six.
Your defense is already playing out of their minds right now.
All you do is give New England more plays.
Right.
You don't do that. It was another bad decision by Sherman, who just can't seem to figure out when to call timeout.
Oh, man, he's
terrible. The challenges, he just seems like he throws a red flag for the hell of it with his interference. You're not all right, listen, I understand, Jerry, the NFL nonsense as usual. Nobody's overturning these challenges, all right?
I was going to say, why have the rule then? Because the one at the end of the game was outrageous.
Jerry, the rule is for obvious penalties.
Yeah, that looked obvious to me with Golden Tate.
It was interference with Golden Tate, Jerry. I agree with you, okay? But they're not going to overturn it unless it's obvious.
Yeah.
So do I agree with that, Jerry? No.
Then why that we shouldn't have the rule?
Because it's a Saints rule, Jerry. Yeah, right. It's just to make sure nothing blatant.
And the game was cool. The game was out of hand at that point. So I don't care. It's just
That's not the point, though. The point is you want the call. Yeah.
Right. It's just I don't understand why the hell you even have the rule then. But
now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
No. His in-game management, his use of timeouts, the challenges, the play calling, third and 12, and you call a screen to Hilleman.
Like, not working against Belichick.
I mean, my God, man. Like, two idiots like us see this, and I guarantee 95% of Giant fans are watching, thinking the same thing we are, yet this guy puts all this time and effort into it, and this is what you come up with. This is why blood pressures rise and you lose your mind watching this team.
Yeah. Listen, Jerry, just getting back to the interference thing, 1 second, then we'll go ahead to the Sherman thing.
Yep.
Coaches have to adjust. It seems like Sherman doesn't want to adjust to this. He seems like he just wants to yell at the refs for 30 minutes on the sidelines.
Right.
So now you guys, you're six games in. Now you see what they're doing with this interference challenge, right?
Right, yeah.
So basically, Jerry.
Stop it.
Don't call it. Don't challenge it unless it is blatant.
Yeah, you're right.
So I understand your frustration, Jerry. I'm frustrated too. I thought New England got away with about four holds down the field.
Chris, I was going to get into that. Go ahead. Keep going. But I want to go back to that.
All right, I thought New England got away with a lot of holds, okay?
Oh, awful.
And then all of a sudden, there's like a phantom call on Jenkins, like, you know, where's ticky-tack, whatever. This is the same nonsense in this league. Jerry, I give up even arguing with this league. It's so ridiculous. So the point I'm making, Jerry, is that, okay, Pat Shermer, okay, NFL coaches, you know what they're going to do now with this challenge. It has to be real, real obvious. Don't throw the challenge flag, Jerry, for a guy, maybe because a quick grab, or maybe he's around the hip a second and twist you, or whatever it might be. Okay?
Yep.
Because they're not going to overturn it.
Yep.
So adjust to it.
So
you don't see Belichick winging flags all over the field challenging, do you?
No.
Like Sherman's done every week. Sherman does it every week now. It seems like, oh, let me just throw it out there for the hell of it, so I can yell at refs.
He did it in against Minnesota too.
You know, he started 3 games this year. So I could yell at the refs. Pat, I understand your frustration. Jerry, I understand your frustration. I'm frustrated, but adjust to it. This is what they're doing. Stop throwing the challenge flag unless it's obvious, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you could argue that years ago, the NFL started calling these ticky-tack pass interference calls because Marvin Harrison in the playoffs got absolutely molested up and down the field from Ty Law and the rest of the Patriots secondary. So the league said, you know what? This is not good for the game. And Belichick's playing within the rules, but they were grabbing him, holding him. They beat the crap out of the Colts receivers up and down the field. So they changed the rules. Okay. Right. So now you can't.
They enforced the rule.
Fine. Now it's the other way. Belichick's guys were all over us. I sat there staring at the TV going, I don't believe what they're not calling. It was almost like they went out of their way not to call anything.
Oh,
and again, and look, you're not going to challenge it. Don't challenge. Fine. But like you said, it's one thing to go in under man, but the officiating is so bad in this league.
Oh, it's so
making
bad.
It unwatchable. And then they called a hold on Hernandez. He didn't do anything, Hernandez.
He pushed this guy. They called a hold on Ingram last week. I'm still trying to figure out that one, too.
The Viking game?
Yeah, on a seal block. But anyway, yeah, they called a hold on Hernandez. It looked like he grabbed the outside for a second, let it go, and they threw a flag on him. Listen, Jerry, other times you could grab, no flags. And this isn't even challengeable with the Belichick stuff, Jerry. This was defensive holding. I mean, that stuff before the ball was even released, I should have been throwing flags on, you know?
Oh, man.
But this is what Belichick does. He pushes the envelope with his defensive backs.
And he should.
And he knows referees are intimidated by him. They're not going to throw flags on him.
This is why he's a better coach than the guy we got. I mean, he's better than everybody.
Right.
But I am so down on Pat Shurmur right now. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this franchise and I'm thinking, all right, I like the draft over the last two drafts. And look what happens when Lorenzo Carter rushes the passer. Good things happen, right? When he's not dropping back in coverage, when he's rushing the passer, you know, when these guys are utilized properly, I like what we've done for the most part in the last 2 years. Okay. Even free agents this year, Marcus Golden's the best defender we have, right? That was a great pickup.
Yep.
But when I look on the sidelines now, I'm incredibly concerned that we are now just watching, you know, the I don't know what we've seen over the last few regimes with Coughlin and McAdoo, where is he just going to play out the rest of the schedule and then we make a change? And I don't know, like, because look, if you make a change, then you have to start all over with a new coach, and Daniel Jones has to learn a new offense. I think they're going to try to make this work, but I don't know, man. I don't know if someone has to fundamentally talk to Shurmur and say, there's a lot of things you need to change here, pal. Because if you don't, you are done. He's not going to make it, man.
Yeah. Let's also, you know, I don't think it's anything that's going to improve an in-game management with him. I really don't.
No, right.
But to be fair to Shurmur, let's let him get Barkley and Ingram and everybody. He hasn't. All those guys have not played a snap together.
Tate, Shep, Barkley. You're right.
Their offense was playing pretty good until Barkley got hurt. And then the Minnesota, of course, did their thing. And New England, you know, the number one defense did their thing. They only got like 430 yards the last few weeks. But one of the most dynamic playmakers hasn't played. I think Barkley would have made a huge difference against New England because they would have ran the ball a lot more. Because it's tough to throw in New England, dude.
Did you see Will Hernandez telling Hillman you ran the wrong way a couple times?
Yeah, well, he's not an NFL back.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. Like, if Barkley's those 1 yard gains or 10 yard gains.
Yeah, and even screen passes, you know, things like that on their heavy, you know, they like to be pretty aggressive with the blitzes. And, you know, so I Barkley would have made a huge difference there. Like he does every week, you know.
Right.
So, we talked about this before with Shurmur.
Yeah.
He's not a good in game manager. Now, I had a major concern. Jerry, can we get into the offense a little bit?
Let's go.
Okay, I put it on Twitter this morning, looking at the game film again. I had a major concern with this. Stephen Gilmore.
Best corner in the league, right?
Has turned into the best corner in the league, in my opinion. Yes, better than Jalen Ramsey. Although Jalen's really good, but in my opinion, Gilmore is the best corner in the league. He was pretty good with Buffalo. Belichick saw something in him playing against him twice a year, brought him over, And, of course, Belichick, the way he just teaches is just – he makes average guys really good, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I put it on Twitter this morning. I have no problem. I don't believe in that philosophy of, okay, he's a shutdown corner. Don't go after him at all. I don't believe in that. But Jerry.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
When you do test him early in the game.
Right.
And he's meeting that challenge, and he's matching you, and you're not doing anything, honey, especially when you don't have guys that could separate, okay? Stay away from him. Jones went after him 5 times.
Yeah, it was almost like they were daring him to make a play.
Now, I don't know. Now, I don't want to indict Sherman in this because I don't know for a fact. So I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But to me, he has to be coached up, Jones, where, okay, we're staying away from Gilmore. You have to come to the line like guys, like quarterbacks do all the time with shutdown corners. You have to identify where Gilmore is covering and stay away from his side. To me, I didn't see that. It looked like Jones just stuck with the original reads. You know, went up to the line of scrimmage. Okay, what we're supposed to do, we're not going to adjust. Doesn't matter who Gilmore's covering. That's not the way you play in this league. When Gilmore is blanketing your guys, he caused the first interception, right?
Yeah.
He tried to force it into, I think it was Tate. And Gilmore, he was a little bit behind Tate, but Gilmore was all over him anyway. And he got his hand in there, ball goes up in the air, and Harmon comes down with the ball, interception number one. They went after him numerous other times, and he almost had another pick. He could very easily get another. Excuse me. He could have easily had an interception later on. So I'm looking at this like, Coach Shermer, is this our game plan really? Don't worry about Gilmore. We'll attack. You know, we're going to go with the original read or whatever, the original route, and, you know, we're not going to adjust away from him? Are you kidding me? When you got, you know, when you got other guys to attack, like they were all over Jonathan Jones. Tate was burning Jonathan Jones, you know, and then you had J.C. Jackson. And I'm saying to myself, why are we going after Gilmore time and time and again, right?
Yep. Yeah,
and so
right.
To me, Jerry, now I don't want to indict Sherman this because I don't know for a fact. Sherman might have been telling him after the first quarter, we're staying away from Gilmore. Yeah. And Jones just didn't really, you know, Jones just didn't really get it, and he still went after him a few times and all that. So I'm not going to say it, but if that wasn't the case, that's horrific coaching. You don't challenge a guy, one of the best corners of the league, continuously when a guy is playing well and he's blanketing you every time you attack him.
So let's stay on Jones then if you talk about the interception. I was going to say the second interception where his arm was hit, I think that was the second one.
Yes, it was.
You said he looked like he was trying to throw it away. I thought he was trying to throw it downfield. Did we ever confirm what the hell he was trying to do there?
Yeah, he was trying to throw it away, Jerry.
Are you just saying that because you want to be right?
No, or Sherman said it.
Okay.
No, I would tell you. No. According to Sherman, he held the ball too long.
Yeah.
And tried to get away, throw it on the sidelines, and somebody hit his arm.
Fine, but that's something he's going to have to learn. He holds the ball too long, whatever. Right. The third one, Belichick disguised it, right?
Listen, Jerry, I've seen Pro Bowl cornerbacks get fooled by Belichick.
Yeah.
I've seen Peyton Manning numerous times.
Yeah.
Okay? It was just as simple that he thought Gilmore was in man. By the way, going after Gilmore again. No, he thought Gilmore was in man. And Gilmore dropped back into his zone. Fooled him. He fooled him with the look. And Gilmore dropped, peeled off, and went into the zone and came down with the interception.
Did Rhett Ellison do anything wrong there or no?
Rhett Ellison looked like he ran a lazy route.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm asking. Like, if Evan Ingram's running that route, is it an interception?
I don't know, because Gilmore cut off the guy and dropped it to the zone. I think Gilmore would at least broke it up.
Okay.
Ellison didn't run the best route.
Yeah.
But Gilmore fooled Jones. I think he probably would at least broke it up. I had to pick anyway.
I mean, I think Ellison needs to be put out to pasture after this year. He's just
I don't like what he's doing at all. I don't like what he's doing at all.
I want to stay on the offense, but I just want to, before I forget, this week we picked up a linebacker who we once cut. 2 weeks ago, we picked him back up again because he's a great special teams player. And this is what I'm talking about with Shermer, and I guess Gettleman blessed it. But I'll go with Shermer because I imagine he's telling Gettleman, this is who I want on my team. The awesome special teams player got thrown into Riley Dixon, and we gave up a touchdown there to Winovich. Now, if he's on the team for special teams and he can't do that, how come we're the only ones who have this guy, Chris?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm sorry. Oh. I give up with the personnel decisions this team makes.
It's weird.
I have no idea, Jerry.
It's so weird, isn't it?
I wanted Stupar gone in training camp. You know that.
Oh, we both did.
So, you know, they bring him back and, you know, and all that. And then even, you know, even if, like, listen, this, we'll get to the defense. But Mayo played a hell of a game over there on the inside. But what if he would have went down? They were going to go with Stupar again?
Yeah.
Over Tate Davis, who was inactive?
I mean, it's funny.
Oh, he's a special teamer. Oh, okay. I get it.
Tate Davis is good enough to be the starter week one, and now he's completely inactive. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, there's your special teamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Sorry to jump around, folks, but it's these decisions that Shurmur makes where I don't understand what the hell we're doing. It's like
right,
so anyway.
So sticking with the offense, then we'll get to the defense in the game.
Yeah.
Listen, Daniel Jones is making mistakes. It's going to happen. He's
it's
a
fine.
Kid.
Yeah,
Jerry.
No, I just think most Giant fans are being patient with him right now. I think we're all expecting this to happen. So anyway.
Well, now he's careless with the ball. He's turning the ball over. Okay, now you say careless with the ball. Well, he's had a few fumbles, right?
Yep.
Now, you cannot keep trying to force balls in tight windows.
Right.
Can't do it in this league. All right? Now, you see a lot of people on Twitter, well, what do you expect? Is nobody separating this and that? What does that mean? You just throw the ball in a tight window and have it picked off because nobody's separating? No, that's not the way it works in this league. Maybe in high school, in your local high school, you try that crap. Not in this league. And Shurmur pointed it out yesterday in the conference call saying that he has to start recognizing because, you know, he's got a lot of guts, the kid, and he wants to get it in there, and he's aggressive. Right, Jerry?
Yep.
That's great when you need to be aggressive.
Right.
In this league is something called stupid aggressive.
Yeah.
And at times, going back to when, you know, the Redskins had the two picks, okay? I can't think of the safety's name or the pick. Anyway, I think it was Morrow. Anyway, when the Redskins had the two picks, one was he tried to force it in a tight window, and he did it again, you know, against New England, right?
Yeah.
He's turning the ball over because he's trying to make things happen and he's trying to force things. And you can't do that in this league. You throw it away. Oh, Sherman's going to have to adjust play calling, whatever it might be. Just because the receiver's not getting separation doesn't mean, well, you know what? I'm going to blame this on the receiver. So I'll throw it in him anyway because you know what? He didn't separate. No. That's not the way it works here.
Dunbar.
Because you know why?
Dunbar,
you lose games.
Redskins, right?
Yeah, Dunbar. Yes. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Because in this league, you can't turn the ball over four times, three turns, and all that because you'll lose games, especially against better teams, as you saw last week against Minnesota and you saw this week against New England, right?
Yeah, and I also feel like there's a little bit of a desperation thing, right? When you throw that first pick and then you're trying to come back, he's very similar to Eli in that it seems like he's okay with throwing more of them. Like, I got to get the ball down the field, so it is what it is. I have to try and squeeze this in. It just seems like once he throws that first one, that he's taking more chances now. He's not being even more careful. He's just, you know what, fire it down the field, see what I can do. And you can't do that against the, you know, I think you tweeted it. You can't turn the ball over four times and beat the Patriots. It is what it is. And give up a special teams touchdown. And we still almost did it, right? It was, like you said, 21-14,
right there.
9 minutes
to
go.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Jones learning all this.
I haven't
once gotten mad at him through the TV or in the stadium, right? I just said,
Jerry,
hey, it's going to happen. This kid's going to struggle. It is what it is.
Now, Jerry, when Jones was made the starter, obviously now it's all about progress the rest of the season.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Not really wins and losses anymore. Okay?
Right.
When Eli was in there, it was wins and losses.
Yep.
When Jones took over, now it's about progress in 2020. Now, am I getting on the kid? No. I love the kid. I love the way he's playing. He's aggressive. He takes shots down the field. He just has to learn a few things, Jerry. Like, one of them is you can't hold the ball that long and then try to wing it out of bounds, right?
Yeah,
if it's not there, get rid of it.
Yep.
Two, the windows in this league, Jerry, are very narrow.
Yeah.
And they close real fast. This isn't Duke versus East Carolina. When I'm not knocking the kid. All I'm saying is it's a huge difference between college and the NFL. These guys on the other side of the ball, a lot of them played offense in high school. A lot of them wide receivers in high school. These guys are quick. They're fast. They close windows. He has to adjust to that, Jerry. And he will. He's a smart kid.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be funny, but does he? It's almost like I don't know if he knows that once you roll out of the pocket, all you need to do is throw it past the line of scrimmage.
Well, it seems like
he's trying to wing it out of bounds.
Right.
You know?
I think, and Jerry, that's a very good possibility. At times, I think he might forget that when he rolls out outside the tackle box, just get it up the line of scrimmage. That's all you need to do.
Yeah,
that's something he has to be taught. I'm hoping Sharma is teaching him that. I'm sure he is. Mm. You know?
Are you sure?
I'm sure he is. For the first time, I saw some frustration on Jones on the sideline. He had his head in his hands.
Yeah, did you see that?
He was upset. It's all part of being a rookie, folks. He faced two real good defenses. The Vikings were a top five defense, and the Patriots were actually number one. Now, getting some positives on the offense, Sherry, I thought the offensive line did a hell of a job.
I was just going to go there, man. I thought they played really well.
So you say, all right, Chris, why do you say that? They scored 14 points. I'll tell you why, because Belichick is a master at pre and post snaps, and his pre-snap looks can be very confusing, okay?
Yeah.
At no time did I see the Giants' offensive line look like they were confused up front.
Right.
No time, okay? Now, Belichick doesn't do exotic crap, Jerry. He doesn't have these old overloads. What he does, Belichick, is that he tests you to see if you guys are prepared communication-wise, mental-wise. He takes advantage of if your offensive line is confused up front with some looks and a stunt and another sort of crap and all eight gap. If they start getting look like they're looking around and they don't know who's got who and all that, Belichick is going to destroy you.
Right.
Destroy you. So to me, they look mentally up to the challenge, communication-wise up to the challenge. They gave up one sack, which was actually basically credit to Jones. You know, a lot of times when a team gets a sack, Jerry, they credit it to Jones, the quarterback, because he'll roll into a guy on the edge. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Not a guy getting clean. Not a guy getting beat clean. So I thought the offensive line really handled their blitzes well, Jerry. And at times Jones had time. Sometimes he didn't because, you know, but for a team coming in with 24 sacks, they left with 25. I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job up front.
At receiver, we had your boy, the Golden Domer, who mm-hmm. showed his yards after the catch ability. And I'm glad that, I'm glad he was able to show that because he had a very frustrating week one or whatever week it was against the Vikings his first week back.
Yeah,
I'd love to see him with Engram and Barkley, like you said, and maybe Shepard a month from now because he's got his second concussion. I don't know when he's coming back, but you'd like to see him with more weapons around him. But you got to be excited about Darius Slayton. And I had a couple catches the other night. I think he's another one. That was a learning experience for him. He went against one of the best defenses in the league with corners who just grab you and beat the crap out of you up and down the field. So it's going to help this team in the long run. But I'm very excited about what he can do and his future.
Great learning experience for young guys, Jerry, like Darius Slayton, obviously Daniel Jones, going against two real good defenses, two very good defensive minds, Jerry.
Yep.
With Mike Zimmer, and of course, there's nobody better than Belichick, you know?
Yep.
So this is all going to be positive learning experiences for the kid Jones, okay?
Yep.
You got to love to throw the Golden Tate for the touchdown, right?
That was perfect. He really didn't have any separation, really.
Right. It was pretty decent coverage. Golden bobbled a little bit, came down. Golden did have 100 yards against his Patriots secondary. Right?
First touchdown against the secondary
first
this
year. First touchdown allowed. And
first 100-yard receiver.
Right. So that's a positive. Jones is very accurate, man, on his slants. Very accurate, you know. He's just got to learn some other things. He's got to learn some more how to read coverages, you know, and he's got to learn, you know, when to get rid of the ball a little more. Don't be forcing balls in windows. You know, and all that, and tight windows where it's not there. And he will learn that, Jerry. You know, he will. I understand six interceptions now in, what, five games he has, Jerry, now? Four games?
Four games.
Four and a half, whatever it is, five and whatever. Four, right? Four games, right.
Yeah,
so
four.
It's going to happen, but he's going to learn from this, you know. Is anybody down in him? I'm not down in him, Jerry. You down in him?
Not at all. No, I'm excited about the future with him. I like him a lot. I just, I'd love to see him against what he's going to do in 10 or, well, now a week right. against a defense like Arizona with his weapons right. back. It should be, right. you know, I'm expecting more than 20 points here now. So I want this offense to move. But, yeah, I think most Giant fans are being patient with him. I think we expect growing pains, so.
Right. And you like to see him with Barkley, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Shep, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon, but hopefully Ingram is nothing too bad with that knee. He's back out there,
yeah.
you know, and you get him some more weapons. Listen, Barkley's a dynamic playmaker, man. I mean, it's a big loss him not being in there, you know?
Huge.
So against a team like Arizona, let's see Jones. He has to, you know, bounce back. Like you said, Jerry, let's get 20-plus points. Let's get Barkley going. I expect Barkley next week. I really do. Let's get Barkley going. And we move forward, buddy. You know, it's progress.
All right, buddy. Before we get to the defense, what are the odds that Nate Stupar's on this roster next year, buddy? What do you put those odds at?
Next year?
Yeah.
With this, well, I would normally say I would go to my bookie and see if it's 0%, but with this coaching staff, I don't know. It could be 10%. I don't know.
Funny you should say that, Chris, because
why is that?
At the end of a hard week, it is great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, remember those. Running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. No longer Jonathan Hillman, he was released. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook out there. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just use the promo code GIANT to activate the offer. That's promo code GIANT. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right. So I was asked on some fantasy football show, what do you think the score is going to be this week? And I said 41-6. I had no faith going in. I went in with less faith than I did week one when they played Dallas. And look, man, the defense played their asses off. They made it a game. And the pass rush is getting better. It seems to be getting better every week. I know New England has some issues on the offensive line. But Marcus Golden, Lorenzo Carter, Dexter Lawrence, there's some guys in this defense to be pretty excited about, man.
Yeah. I thought the defense really played their hearts out, man. They were on the field for 70-plus plays, you know, and they were right there. I thought they were doing a good job on Brady. The first five drives New England had, they had a punt, one they turned over on downs, interception by Jackrabbit, right?
Yep.
To hold Brady to 0 points the first five drives is pretty remarkable, Jerry. You think about it. That's pretty good, man. So I thought Betcher did a heck of a job this week. Now, you know I've been on Betcher and all that, right?
Oh, there's no question about it. Everybody has. Yeah,
right.
We all have.
Now, I am also a believer of you when a guy calls a good game or plays a good game, whatever it might be, you got to give him credit too.
Yep.
And I gave Betcher a lot of credit. I thought he did a heck of a job mixing up looks that even Brady at times in the first few series looked like it appeared that he was like a little bit didn't know what the Giants were doing at times. Okay. Which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. But he kind of had that look, Brady, a few times, like he wasn't quite sure what coverage. I'm not talking about every play. I'm talking about some passing plays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he wasn't quite sure what coverage the Giants were in. Because Betcher did a lot of disguise. Like sometimes he looked like he was going man, went to a zone. He looked like he was going to a zone, went into a man. You know, did some man under, stuff like that. So I thought Betcher did a good job mixing it up. And I thought the defense played really well against the run. They held Michelle at 80-something yards, but he had 23 carries or something. Mayo, I thought Ogletree, this was his best game as a Giant.
Yeah, he had 12 tackles, but he was making – they weren't just all down the field. He was making some plays.
Yeah, and he had a sack, you know. Yeah. I thought he was very active, Jerry. Now, he struggled in pass coverage, as usual.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Mayo played really well.
So do I. Right? I thought he was good.
Yeah, and that was the big difference, you know, and pretty much slowing down their run game, you know.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence to me is a kid that's getting better every game.
Yeah.
He played over 60 snaps. Obviously, Betcher and Sherman see that. They played the kid over 60 snaps. And I don't think there was any question that this was Dalvin Tomlinson's best game of the year by far.
By a mile. He made two plays to stop them on third and fourth down at on the first drive. And it's someone we've been wanting to actually show us something, right? I mean, we were all excited going into the season about Hill and the Carters and see what Lawrence does. Tomlinson, you're right, man. Tomlinson had his best game as a Giant so far.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. See, you know, besides filling gaps, you want guys making some
impact
plays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, you know, I thought Thomas made a couple of big stops, a couple of nice big run stops the other day, and he played pretty good. And Dexter Lawrence is a kid that's getting better and better. He had a couple more hurries the other day. You know, he's got a couple of sacks for the season.
Yeah.
I think this kid is becoming a monster in the inside, you know?
Yeah, what's interesting is he didn't get quite the reception that Daniel Jones got when he was drafted, but everybody raised an eyebrow. Like, Dexter Lawrence at 17, really? And, you know, it's early in his career, obviously, but, man, Gettleman might have found something there because this kid's a monster. He's hard to contain one-on-one. He's strong as hell. He's huge. He's quicker than we thought. And he's a hell of a player, man, and it's somebody that you can build around. So there are aspects of this team to get excited about. And another guy, I don't want to get off the line, but I want to stay on the draft pick subject. DeAndre Baker's getting better every week now.
Yeah. Listen, he's getting better, man. He, you know, after that horrific game he had early in the year, the kid's getting better. No question about it, man. You know,
he's playing press now too.
Yeah, at times he is. Yeah, at times Betch is putting him in press. And Jerry, I don't know if you got the notification. Did you read the papers yet? Well, I'll tell you why. I don't know if you read the papers yet, but there's going to be a Canyon of Heroes parade in New York City, right where you are, Tuesday, because the Giants played Corey Ballantyne a snap.
Did they play Julian Love too?
And Julian Love played one snap at free safety. So,
Chris, I actually said to myself, who the hell's 24? I didn't even know.
So the mayor of New York to celebrate is going to throw a little parade Tuesday afternoon. So I thought that was pretty nice of the mayor. So Ballantyne and Love did see the field, for one snap each. Cool. So I guess next week they'll get four snaps and we'll go on from there, you know. Cool.
Well, I mean, okay, so I guess we'll go to the not-so-great part of the defense, or one aspect at least, and that's, look, he's a good tackler. Everybody says he's a good tackler, but he's not good in coverage. So I just don't – and that's my clock going off, sorry. I don't understand why Grant Haley is still out there all the time. Like, why are you not giving a look to – maybe Ballantyne's not a slot corner – I don't know. I don't understand the reason for Grant Haley being out there all the time. And when people say he's a good tackler, I'm like, well, then grow 4 inches and put on 30 pounds and become a linebacker because he can't cover anybody.
Yeah, he was targeted a lot again, 10 times Thursday night, and he gave up 8 catches. So
that's ridiculous.
He continues to struggle in the coverage department, so
Grant Haley can't play the slot either. So if you're going to tell me that Ballantyne can't, then okay, well, Grant Haley can't really do it either. So why don't you give one of these other kids a shot? Give Julian another shot, right? Am I wrong?
That's the way I look at it. At some point, he continues to hurt you, the kid. I mean, Haley and in the coverage, so you gotta have to start making some adjustments, but we'll see where that takes us. I give up some of the things they do to staff, how they think. I really do. So, but the defense, getting back to, Jerry, I like we just talked about Ogletree. I thought he played his best game as a Giant. He played really well.
Yep.
But the issue on defense, Jerry, obviously besides coverage in the secondary, is missed tackles. Okay?
Bad angles, yeah.
They missed, Pepe's missed a key tackle the other night, in an open field. They had 13 more. Yeah. They had 16 against the Vikings. Some guys... You could just, especially Janoris Jenkins, the technique is just horrific.
Did you see when Janoris Jenkins grabbed, I forget who it was. Was it Edelman? Like from one side of the field to the other on the third down stop. And they're defensive holding.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was.
So Jenkins is, a lot of missed tackles, Jerry. They're going to have to clean that up. you know, because it's hurting them. It's hurting them big time, man.
Yeah. Jenkins has had such a weird year. And real quick on his interception,
that was a misread. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But on the return, I thought they called the penalty on Golden for hitting Brady. Golden made a dumb penalty. He pushed, I forget who he pushed when he was down. And that's the stuff you can't do against the Patriots. But am I the only one who thought that Julian Edelman should have got an offsetting penalty for diving on Jenkins out of bounds? Like,
it looked like it,
right? Can Julian Edelman just do what he wants up and down the field? Talk about somebody I can't. Thank God he doesn't play in our division, because he would be like Cole Beasley and Jace Witten combined for me. Like, I couldn't stand watching him one game. The way he was acting, the way, you know, he got a holding penalty on the one play, and he seems to just be a pain in the ass for your team. I guess if he's on your team, you like him, but I don't understand why that wasn't an offsetting penalty, man, but whatever. It's just frustrating. But Jenkins, man, he's had such an up-and-down year, and you have to wonder if they're going to – when Sam Beal comes back, I think the likelihood of him being traded is greater and greater.
I can see it happening, yes. Right? I can see them. I can see Gettleman maybe trying to move him.
Even for like a sixth rounder. No, I mean, obviously you want a third or fourth, but
I don't think the way he's playing, I'll be shocked if he might get handed a third. I think they'll take a fifth for him. I don't know if it'll be just a sick. I don't know, but I think they're going to look to move him though. You know,
and I think it's
he hasn't played well, Jerry.
If you got a fifth for Jenkins, I think we take it.
Jerry, he hasn't played well. You know what I mean? He has not played well. I mean, could we throw the rescue game out the window, please? Stop. Sure. Yeah, you know, I mean, he hasn't played well, you know. The other night, nice little pick, but, you know, let's not forget, you know, Edelman did a wrong read with Brady there, and he kind of threw it over there, and Jenkins made a nice play getting over, but overall, he hasn't played well at Jenkins.
And you wonder if the wind affected that throw, too, because the wind was nuts the other night, right?
In the first half, it was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Free safety. I mean, we all were rooting for Antoine Bethea, but clearly best years behind him. I mean, it's not, they're just going to keep playing him. They're not going to ever put Mike Thomas as the starter. I'm mentioning him because, you know, you look at this team for next year in the off season, and you have what, free safety, probably middle linebacker, some type of edge rusher, center, maybe left tackle, right tackle, you know, kind of is all the, you know, the biggest needs on this team. But on defense, I would say, If I could grab one position and solidify it, I'd probably be free safety right now.
Free safety over inside linebacker, huh?
Yeah, because I can survive with Mayo and Ogletree. I think Mayo and Ogletree are better right now than Antoine Bethea. That's in my opinion.
All right. Well, they're going to look to I don't think. Listen, Bethea's isn't playing great. I don't think he's playing that bad for what they're asking him to do, but he, you know, he's getting old and he's looked a little slow at times. No question about it. I don't expect to see him starting next year, Jerry, on his team. No, I don't, you know. But to me, Jerry, you know, let's not forget all the games Ogletree had where guys were running down their throats too.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Mayo's a nice little backup play. He's playing pretty good, but I wouldn't look at him and say, okay, we got Mayo for 2020.
Oh, you know? No, no. I'm thinking with Connolly back.
Right. So I would love to see Connolly and a nice inside back, you know, to help against the run, because the Giants haven't been really good against the run. They were good the other night, you know, but you need some guys, you know, on the inside. But I understand what you're saying, dude. It's definitely one of the holes, and it's something they're going to have to upgrade. And I don't know if they have Love in their future. I don't know. We'll see as the season moves along if they start grooming him more and more now, right?
Yeah. You would think they would.
And if Bethea is here, I'm sure whoever's playing free safety right now for the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not sure who the hell that is. But whoever it is, probably be a Giant next year.
That's right, because they're all system guys.
After they get released. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I say edge rusher, I'm not talking about like Carter or Zimenez or Golden. I guess when I should say somebody else on the defensive line that can get to the quarterback, because look, Tomlinson played one good game. B.J. Hill has really done nothing. Right.
Well, you're looking for like a Nick Bosa. Obviously, not a Nick. I mean, Nick Bosa. No, but that kind of animal. But kind of guy like Bosa, you could throw him over at the five technique and get to the quarterback. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, not an outside backer, Reg. Right. Although they considered edge guys now, but you're looking more like a 3-5 technique dude if you get the quarterback.
Right. Yes,
because right now we don't have it, Jerry.
It's probably a top 2, top 3 need on this team because BJ Hill's just not doing anything.
Yeah, I tell you, he's not. Listen, he's playing a run pretty decent job, but he's just not making an impact in a pass rush game at all.
No,
you know, he doesn't have a hit yet, Jerry.
It's like we have 3 nose tackles. I mean, and Lawrence is more than a nose tackle, but you know what I mean. The body type on our line looks like 3 nose tackles to me.
Yeah, you would like to see, Jerry, like you just said, a guy up front that could get to the quarterback a little bit, and then you team him up with X-Man next year and Carter, and it looks. And let's see what they do with Golden too. You know,
he's proving it, right? You know, the guy has done a good job, and if he plays this way the rest of the year, he's only 28. He's got time. He's got years ahead of him. I mean, yeah, I think you sign him to like a 4-year deal, 3-4-year deal, and say, here's some money. Do it again. You know, we have faith in you. You know, bring him back.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Jerry, I actually talked to Marcus about playing here, and he loves it here, dude.
Yeah.
He loves it here. He loves the whole Giants, the building. Now, of course, it always comes down to the old green. We know that, right?
Well, he's also the best player on the defense.
But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Gettleman does with him in this offseason because the way he's playing, he deserves to be back, Jerry. No question about it.
Yeah, he does. And Carter the other night, was he just rushing the passer more? Did you notice that? Like, what that sack he had was brilliant. I loved it. That's what you envision with that kid. Like he can really get he's got the bull rush. He's fast. I thought Zimmon has had probably his worst game yet. But Lorenzo Carter, this is what we kind of envisioned at the start of the year, him rushing the passer. He made a couple plays. I think he also made a play in the backfield too. Were they using him differently or is he just did he
no,
just
he was just
game?
Coming off the edge. Yeah, at times he was coming off the edge and he was playing hurt too. So, he played a pretty decent game. Like you said, Joe, this is what I talked about before the season started, what I expected from Carter, right? I thought I was one of the guys saying, watch this kid this year. I said it numerous times, right?
Yeah.
And he hasn't really done much yet.
Right.
Had the sack strip, had the sack fumble the other night for the touchdown. You know, Golden picked it up and all that. Let's see how – listen, there's 10 games left, bud, you know?
No, I know.
Let Carter get healthy. No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying there's 10 games. I know some people are down on Carter. There's 10 games left. Let him get a little healthy. His elbow and his neck's been bothering him. Let's see how he finishes these 10. I expect a lot of things from him these last 10 games. Let's see how he finishes up. A lot of football left, man. A lot of football.
He's got the talent. He's got the speed. He's got the power. Like, it's just got to put it together because this kid can play, or should be able to play, I should say. The one I thought BJ Hill would take the biggest leap in year two, and it just seems like he's been neutralized completely. So, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Before we get to our picks, is there anything else you wanted to talk about in that game the other night?
Did I miss anything? No. I don't think so. Probably, but I don't remember anything. I don't remember. I'm forgetting.
We covered the officiating, the coaching, offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, I think we're pretty good, bud.
Oh, can we talk about the foghorn? Because that was awesome to listen to for 3 hours. I mean, sorry, I know you don't care about this stuff, but on third down, like, can
that's their thing, Jerry. That's their thing.
I get it, but like, the horn in Minnesota, the foghorn, like this crap that we got to listen to. I can't stand it. I'm turning into my father watching these games. I'm like an 82-year-old man who can't stand all this new crap that the NFL is throwing at me every week.
Okay.
That's all I got. Anything else?
That's the thing. I don't know. It doesn't, you know what? You don't want to hear it? I don't know. Convert some third downs.
My wife just looked over at me and shook her head. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't, you know, that's just different stadiums have different things. Is it going to annoy you tomorrow if you're going to hit a skull thing if they're kicking the crap out of the Eagles?
No.
All right, so, you know.
I'll be like, that's the most awesome sound ever.
Right. If you're hearing that Viking horn tomorrow and you're hearing the skull chant and the Vikings are up like 27-10 in the fourth quarter, you're going to be like, oh, man, that damn thing's annoying me.
Yeah. All right.
Is it?
Probably not.
Okay.
All right, so let's get to the picks. You were up 2, now you're up 4. You had a net
baby.
Two. Yeah, so I got to start picking. Well, you know, long season yet. I'm not going to just start.
10 games left, bud.
I'm not going to start winging it down the field and getting careless with the football. I'm going to still be.
Don't take a shot at Jones now.
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding, buddy.
I mean, now you're going to start with Jones.
No, I'm all in.
You ripped Eli for the last 2 years. Now we're going to start with Jones.
Oh, by the way, now that Francesa has come clean with hating Danny Dimes, I think we should. I know you hate it, but that's a reason we should call him that still.
Yeah, I agree with you there. If he really hates it, then everybody's calling that.
He hates it. I mean, he couldn't stop talking about it. Yeah, he just he
was, why? Because he didn't create it. He didn't come up with it.
Yes, he was over the moon with how much he hates it. And he, you know, it's funny because Darnold played like two games last year, and he said Sam Darnold will run the league, run the city in 2 years. Yeah. And now people are saying how much they like Jones. He's like, let's not put him in the Hall of Fame. It's just funny how he's pumping the brakes on Jones because he couldn't get access to Gettleman, and he now hates the Giants. So anyway, ironic.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Well, that's no surprise from the human fraud. You know that.
The human fraud. Nice. All right, buddy. 9:30 tomorrow morning. Football is literally all day. Panthers at Bucks.
I'm gonna go with the Panthers, bud. Although I have a feeling I'm gonna be wrong with that one.
I'm going Bucks.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You're gonna win that one. I have a feeling.
So you sure you want to stay with it, or you want to?
I'll stay with it.
Oh, this is a barn burner, buddy. 1 o'clock, the game of the year: Redskins at Dolphins.
Oh man,
something's gotta give.
Callahan's first game. I tell you, this is a tough one, man. Does the Dolphins win their first game? Or the Redskins win their first game. I'll go with the Redskins.
So will I, because of the coaching change. It's so funny. I think they'll win because of the coaching. If the Dolphins change coaches, I would have gone with the Dolphins. But the coaching change, the Redskins will rally around Callahan. That's what I think.
Okay.
Saints at Jaguars.
I'm going to go with the Saints. You're going to go with the Jaguars.
No, you bully me into the Jaguars every week because I sit there and pause. I've noticed that 3 weeks in a row now. I pause with Jacksonville because I don't know what they are. I'm going with Jacksonville.
There you go. I bullied you again.
Three weeks in a row, you bullied me into it. Bengals at Ravens. I'm going Ravens.
Boy, that was a stretch. You reached that one. Yeah, I'll go with the Ravens in that one, too.
Seahawks at the Odell Beckhams.
Seattle.
Yeah, same here. Got an interesting message. Not going to say from who, that there are rumblings that the Browns are looking to push Odell out of town. Okay.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's a blow.
Yep. Eagles at Vikings.
Vikings.
Oh, I got to go Vikings just because I'm going to be rooting for them. Although I hate the Vikings now. I'm going to be holding my nose and rooting for the Vikings.
Why do you hate the Vikings?
Because they just beat the crap out of us now all the time. 7 out of the last 10. But so, the Eagles beat us worse, and I hate the Eagles. I mean,
you must hate a lot of teams the last 6 years.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Dude. I watch other games now, and it's like I can't stand so many teams. I don't know who to root for anymore. But obviously, this is the division. The Eagles are the epitome of evil. Go Vikings, Skol, baby. What's that mean? Skol.
I don't know. I have no idea. But okay. Skol. Yeah, I'm hoping Vikings still.
Can't wait to listen to Skol tomorrow. Texans at Chiefs, great game.
Yeah, this could be a shootout. Probably won't be now that I said that. But I tell you what, man, I'll go with the Chiefs. Because they're home.
Only because they're home. Same thing. Falcons at Cardinals.
I'm going to go with Arizona wins their second game in a row. Falcon team's a mess, man.
Yeah, and outside the dome, I just don't believe in Matty Slush. I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well, pal. Good game. 49ers at Rams, 4:05.
Yeah, wow. I tell you what, man. I wasn't a big believer in the 49ers until last Monday night. This Nick Bosa kid is an absolute animal.
Did you like the planting of the flag?
Yeah, I loved that. He was just teasing Mayfield. Then he talked. He said we rattled him after the game, and all his feet were jittery.
He said he couldn't even look at him. He couldn't even look across
at him. Mayfield. Yeah. The 49ers defense, man. I tell you what, but their starting two tackles are not playing. Staley's been out, and now McGlinchey's out. I'm going to go with the Rams at home. They've lost two in a row. I'm going to go with the Rams at home.
The Golden Domer, McGlinchey's out.
Yeah, he's good.
He's real good. I'll go with the Niners.
Okay.
By the way, Baker Mayfield also said, I'm glad he's been thinking about that for 2 years. Like, no offense, Baker, but if someone did that to me, I'd think about that the rest of my life. Like, that's something that's so disrespectful. Like, how could you not think about that for 2 years? So right. It's just a stupid statement. Titans at Broncos.
I'm going to go. Let's see. Titans lost last week. I go with their win this week.
Yeah, I guess because I'm still not a believer in this Broncos team. I'm going to go with the Titans as well. Cowboys at Jets. Brutal.
Jerry, I'm going to go with the Cowboys, but I have a feeling this is going to be a closer game than you think tomorrow.
Well, Darnold's playing with a spleen protector, right?
Yeah, he's playing, and I just have a feeling the Jets, this is not going to be a blowout, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win the game, though.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, too, even though I'm rooting really hard for the Jets.
Their two tackles look like they might not be playing tomorrow, the Cowboys. So I just think the Jets are going to keep it close, but I'll go with the Cowboys, bud.
Yeah, I hope so. Steelers at Chargers, 8:20 tomorrow night.
Jerry, just quickly, getting back to the Jet game, can you imagine if the Jets upset the Cowboys, Jerry Jones' face tomorrow?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Beningo said that stadium's going to be like 70% Cowboy fans, and then back after this asked, is this possible? I think so. I think it's totally possible. 70% of that stadium will be Cowboys fans.
Well, yeah, I don't know number-wise, but they're going to have a lot of them there. They always do, right?
The Northeast frauds. So Steelers at Chargers, who do you got?
Chargers. Steelers are down to their quarterback. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, you have to. Mason Rudolph's not playing. I don't know if he's going to play for a while. I'm going to go Chargers as well. And Monday night, Lions at Pack. Good game Monday night.
Good game, especially the Pack knocking off the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I tell you what, this Patricia's got these Lions playing too. I'm going to go with the Lions going to Lambeau and beating them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers because they're home. So, Now, it's nice to see some. It'd be nice to see an assistant with the Patriots actually do well. So, all right, buddy. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, pal. All right, everybody. If you want to order a subscription to the Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magzter.com for a digital subscription. That's MAGZTER. And download the Giant Insider app. Those noises in the background, folks, were my wife and daughters walking through the kitchen because the Wi-Fi was bad in the bedroom. I know I said it was dropping us at 2. It's going to be about 3:30. We are all good now. Anything else, pal?
No, anything else you want to talk about? The noises in your house?
Just wanted to make it clear.
You want to tell people what time you're going to the bathroom later or what time you're eating dinner?
I'm probably eating dinner around 4:30. And my wife is doing her hand gesture. 4:30? Like, let's go.
Who the hell eats dinner at 4:30?
Well, it's like we're in Florida. We eat early. So. Plus, we have to go to 5. Well, we go to 5 o'clock, 5:30 mass.
Okay.
So anyway,
that says a lot right there.
All right, everybody, remember, Sundays are giant days, although tomorrow they're not playing. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.